Hello, hello. Here's Agi coming to you again on 44 different platforms around the world, and we are doing the Paranormal World Show tonight, which is under the umbrella of Broadcast Team Alpha. And I have an extremely interesting guest, and I've been looking forward to this because, I'm a hound for what's behind the curtain.
Okay.
And she I don't know. She almost lives behind the curtain. She is well known. But first, before I introduce the guest, I want to tell you a couple of things about how to get a hold of us. We are on broadcastteamalpha.com. We are transmitting there as well as on YouTube and 44 other platforms, 3 TV stations, Roku, and many, many others, and a horde of social media things. So you can find us just about anywhere. If you want to get a hold of Nori and me, just go to broadcastingalpha.com and there's a link there. You can send us a message and we'll get back to you. Now, I also want to send a little message to you here, something that I would think that you would really like to do, and that is go to consciousawakeningnetwork.org. Go look at the shows. They have close to 50 different shows there. We are one of them, and we transmit live over there also. They transmit and they have guests that talk about all the stuff that we need to know. Not just want to know, but there are stuff we need to know. So go have a look at that. That is consciousawakeningnetwork.org. That's what I get for not shutting the phone off. All right. Okay. I have Lorelei Potvin with her. And she is, I was going to put together an introduction for her, and I'm just losing myself because she's got about 13 different shingles on the wall of stuff that she's doing. So I'm going to make it easy on myself and have her tell you of some of the things that she is doing and she's involved with. So, Lorelei Potvin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Augie. We've been longtime friends, and I'm really, really, really honored to be here today. So I said it'll be easier if I do it for you because it is a long title. So I am a Canadian psychic medium. I'm a crystal Reiki master, energy healer. I also am an act Akashic Records practitioner. I'm a spiritual teacher and mentor. I'm a registered nurse. I am an internet radio host of two shows of my own on UFO Paranormal Radio Network, The Angel Rock on Monday nights. And then I co-host, it's a show that I put together with a friend of mine called The Thing at the Foot of the Bed on Thursday, same network, 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm also a registered nurse. And although I guess you could consider me retired, I still use all my nursing. But also, since we've talked, I have been taking some courses. I am a budding animal communicator, well versed in near-death experiences, having studied them professionally and personally for over 40 years, and I believe I had an experience as a toddler. And lastly, very well versed in the paranormal. We shared our experience on the Travel Channel's Paranormal Survivor season 4, episode 9, called Demonic Hauntings. Whew, that was in one breath.
Yeah, boy,
Oh.
boy. Say, folks, this is why I had her do it instead of me because this was so much easier.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, she's been doing this for so long, and she's been talking on these subjects of what's behind the curtain, spirit communication, and all these things for so long that I didn't even plan anything for this show because I know it will come out.
We've done so many shows
Yeah.
together, never mind behind when we're not on air. We've discussed subjects many, many times. So I totally knew we'd have more than enough to talk about.
Yeah, we do. And I don't know what if we start with the experience that you had in your house because you had a visitor or visitors and they were not all that friendly.
No, not at all. As
And
I
give us a little bit of that story because, folks, Turn the lights on where you're sitting right now. You just might need it because you don't want to listen to this in the dark.
No. So, as I always say, I never went looking for the paranormal. It found me, but it's been around me my whole life. I'm going to be 59 in August, and my earliest paranormal experience in my first home that I remember back to is around the age of 3 or 4 when I was 8 years old. One summer, we moved into a brand new home. And I'm prefacing this just so people know it's been around me my whole life. And my parents have built a brand new home, new subdivision. And just that first year, we moved in before my 8th birthday. So it would have been early summer, right until the snow fell. Every night at 3 a.m., I would wake up completely unable to breathe. Blue, always at 3 a.m. I knew nothing about the paranormal. They diagnosed me with asthma, and it did stop off in that during that winter. But we fast forward to my previous home. We had little things happening. I was still married to my first husband at the time, and you know where your keys are. He puts your keys usually in a certain place, or most people do, and ours were always at the front door. And you'd see them. You'd put your phone there, bend down to put your shoes on, stand back up, keys are gone, and you think, am I going crazy? Start tearing the place apart, and you think, well, I guess they're gone. I guess I'm not going out. And you carry on, and about an hour later, maybe you go to pick up the flyers or the mail, and there's your darn keys sitting there exactly where you left them. Then what really kind of broke this all open, this is how far back this was. We all know, if we've been following this for a while, the secret that came out about the law of attraction. And the movie was out, and we had been hearing, my first husband and I, we were, like I said, still married, and I said, well, let's watch that. So we watched it. And what happened was, I had been out the next day, and I was doing pet jewelry and all kinds of stuff. But every local business I went to, they all wanted to sell and carry my merchandise, but they wanted no commission for it. And I remember coming home and telling my first husband, his name's Earl, and he's okay with me mentioning his name. And I was telling him this, going, this is weird. And he said, we were joking, and he goes, well, maybe it's the secret. Lo and behold, I had this dream that night, like it happened 5 minutes ago. This is the part you need your lights on for. There was a tree in my front yard in my old home, and I found myself in this dream outside, and there was a man sitting in the tree. And as I started to look up, I could see he was wearing a very expensive charcoal, dark charcoal gray suit with pinstripes, white silk shirt, black tie. His hair was all slicked back to about ear length for people listening. It was black, very short, neatly trimmed goatee and mustache all joined together, but it was the skin that was a sickly pale white. I promise I won't make this too long. But as I looked up, his eyes were completely black, and then they were turning to red flame. They kept switching back and forth. And I said, who are you? And he didn't give me his name at first. He just said, you know that little business that you have, Laura Lee? He goes, that's nothing. I can offer you everything beyond your wildest dreams, fame, wealth, you name it. All you have to do is agree to follow me. And it is not publicly friendly what I told him in the dream and where to go. And I said, who are you? And this is the weird part. He proceeded to tell me he was a demon, told me his name, and he spelt it for me. And again, even more emphatically and not publicly or radio friendly, I told it where to go. And he started to laugh at me, and he mocked me, and he wagged his finger at me with the, oh, no. Every time you see a crow or a raven, you're going to know who it is. And I remember calling on Archangel Michael in that dream. And I can't even describe the colors, this brilliant royal blue, silver, and white. There was a flash. I woke up in a sweat, crying and shaking, which I don't do. And all heck basically broke loose.
Yeah, and don't mention his name because
Oh,
some,
I never, ever, ever. I know that.
somebody else might be talking to him too, so don't
I have
mention.
had people contact me begging me to give them the name, and I know well enough you do not give out names. I'd never heard this name either. I always defined myself as maybe a recovering Catholic. So I'd gone to Catholic school, been forced to go to church, the whole bit. And I'd never heard this name before, nor could I find any information in the beginning about it.
Yeah, why in the world did he sit in a tree? That was
Yeah, there was a tree, and I'm getting goosebumps as I'm telling you. It was like this happened probably 16, 17 years ago, and I remember it with such detail. It is like it happened 10 minutes ago. There was a tree in the front yard, but of all, maybe because he had felt like he maybe had the upper hand looking down on me because I wasn't in the tree.
Yeah, higher up they feel more superior. You got it.
I remember though in the dream thinking, how foolish are you? Like, why would you ever think that maybe there are people, and I'm not being judgmental here, but I thought, you obviously don't know me very well, because that's not something you're ever gonna, I don't care who you are, what you're gonna promise me. I'm not gonna, if I want wealth and I want fame, which I'm not seeking, but I meant if I was, I would do that for myself. I don't, I'm not gonna make an agreement with something sitting in my tree.
Yeah, gosh. But there were things happen after that too in the house. Maybe mention some of that.
So what had happened again, things kept missing. My ex-husband and I broke up, and the partner I'm still with today, Dell, we had been friends our whole life, so I'd known him and we'd gotten together. So he was living in the home again, just strange, weird things going missing, just weird stuff. My kids were having problems. I have my youngest son has severe autism, and he was limited with language, but he kept saying red eyes in my closet, mummy, closet. My eldest could not sleep in his childhood bedroom. That bedroom became a storage room. He could not sleep in there. He was terrified. He couldn't tell me what it was. But the thing that really defined it for us, I remember this clearly. This is a couple months after Dell had moved in, and our bedroom was in the basement. And it was a Monday or Tuesday night, about 11 o'clock, and we heard this horrific crash upstairs. And we came running upstairs. My eldest son met us in the kitchen. We're going, what the heck was that? And we're looking around everywhere. And it was kind of an open concept kitchen dining room. So the cupboards made the back sort of one of the walls of the dining room, but there was an open space there. And on that back wall in the dining room, I had what I describe as, I don't know, a curio cabinet. It was a little 3 foot by 3 foot little cabinet of wood and glass. And it had all my childhood trinkets in there and things I'd received, like when I graduated, and all kinds of beautiful things in there. It had hung there for over 12 years, never moved. It was securely on the wall. Where we looked and we found it, it had come off the wall. It was about 12 feet into the living room. Okay, from where it hung. But as we looked more closely, where it hung and to the left of it, there was the back wall of the house. It appeared it had come off the wall with such force, and I do have pictures, that the hooks you could not bend with your fingers, but the left-hand hook was bent down. It looked like it had hit the wall and come back, and that's where it landed in the living room. But on its way into the living room, it cut the caller ID, the answering machine, and the portable phone cord. It looked like somebody had used a scalpel. So many of my things were broken. The glass in the cabinet was broken and some of the wood, but the hooks were still on the wall or still on the back of the curio cabinet. So it came off with that much force. So literally, it flew about 16 feet rather than the 12, what we had originally thought, because it had to have come off and flown to the left, hit the wall. As it can, we still don't know how it sliced the cords. Like, how did you slice all these electrical cords? Because there was nothing sharp on there to slice it. That's when we knew all heck had broken loose, and indeed it did.
I guess the guy in the tree was pissed because you didn't follow him.
We had four main entities in our home that we identified, and he was the main one. And I do have pictures of many of these things I've documented, but we've been bitten, scratched, bruising. My partner Dell's been thrown 15 feet across the kitchen there. He's been, and he didn't even tell me for the first 2 days. I noticed all the cuts on his elbow because he's still a skeptic to this day. And he had his electrical battery charge thing. He's testing all the wires. He thought maybe he'd gotten a shock from the fridge, but he literally flew from the fridge, was the middle of the night, and into the counter in far across the kitchen, and I guess he cut his elbow up when it happened.
Oh man, yeah.
So it
Oh
was
gosh.
crazy.
When you're thinking back on this could create some mental scars. Do you feel like you have overcome those scars from back then?
Well, I'm a true believer in the power of positive thinking and the power of the mind. I
Yeah.
talk about it often. I reference you often because I've known you for many years and we've done many shows together, but I believe in what you and Nori are doing. And what I always say is the experience we went through, I wouldn't wish on a blade of grass, meaning some people think grass is nothing to me. I'm no better than a blade of grass. We are all one, everything's one. But my point is, had I not gone through that experience, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I would not be able to help the people that I've been helping. And I consider myself, people probably heard the buzzword, a light worker, but I also work with a lot of dark things. That took a long time for me to accept. I never wanted to work with the dark. I still don't like it. And when I say I work with the dark, I help others who are experiencing similar situations to either connect them with others who can help or teach them about how to empower themselves to overcome what they're going through.
That's what I've been saying for years. Accept the negative things that is happening to you because good things can come from it.
Definitely, because you know what I would not be doing. I was going to be a doctor before I hurt my back and the way life played out. And here I am doing something completely different, loving what I'm doing. And I have to reference you and Nori because in this whole scenario, I ended up losing my home. Like it was like the whole neighborhood had been affected. Too long of a story to discuss here. But I remember talking with you and Nori about it. And I remember Nori saying to me, because I was going to try to fight to keep the house, and the house had had black mold all through it, never mind what we were experiencing. And I still remember Nori's words to this day. And she said, Laura Lee, maybe this is a gift from the universe. And I thought it hit me, and I went, that's exactly what it is. I lost everything, still trying to recover financially. But you know what? The neighbors I have here, the place I'm in, I don't look back. I don't miss that house. I don't miss anything with it. And it is a better place to where we moved to. Much better.
We all have had some really negative things happen, and we grow from it, and we learn more, and we end up helping others more than we otherwise would. I've had experiences too, but what you're doing now, you are helping a lot more people than you would being a doctor, because there you help one person at a time. Now, on the shows you are doing, you are talking to millions every week.
Right. And with the two shows, like with the Angel Rock, the premise is to bring on people who are making a positive change for humanity, professionally and or personally. But I also cover the paranormal. But the reason why we started the second show is because with the type of work that myself and David Hansel, my co-host, do, he's a medium as well, we get a lot of questions about what is a ghost, what is a cryptid, what are UFOs, why do these things happen, why do bad things happen to good people sometimes, how do you connect with your guides, or you know, is this fake, is it real, what we're seeing on video. And we make it very clear that we're not experts, but we've had a life ex lot of life experience and connected with the other side. We give you our perspective, and we don't always agree. But like, for example, my co-host refuses to believe in demons. So we agree to disagree. And I think it's semantics on what you call it. But if everything is energy, and energy can either be created nor destroyed. And as I always say, not everybody is running around thinking, speaking, or having the kind of emotions that are all love and light. That has to go somewhere, and it can collect. And then we see things like tulpas, and people may not believe it, but it can happen, and we see it happening to a lot more people, I think, in this video day and age. And with the paranormal door being kicked open with more TV shows and what have you, and shows like ours.
Yeah. Now, here's something. I'll almost guarantee you there's going to be people listening to this that have stuff going on in the house that cannot be explained, and they will probably perceive it maybe as a negative thing. What do you suggest for them to do to get rid of it or eradicate it, get it out of the house, and get peace back again?
Okay, so the first thing is there's many things you can do, but to make it very simple for people, the first thing I would do, because a lot of people will say they feel like they're being watched and that they feel kind of sick in a certain spot or what have you. I might want to check with, and if you don't know how to do it, maybe get somebody that can to check if you've got a high level of EMF, electromagnetic frequency, because a lot of wiring, especially old wiring and appliances, can actually give you that feeling. We have even seen incidences in the research of hallucinations. But for those maybe that are experiencing knocks and bangs and little things moving and what have you, and not every spirit in your home is negative, by the way. I know many people that have made peace with somebody that's not ready to move on yet, but you know what? You get a medium or someone like myself in there, you have a communication, you agree to disagree and stay out of there. But my point is, if you want to deal with this with yourself, and you were the one that taught me this years ago, like attracts like energy. So one of the things you can do, and I used to hate to hear this, but I understand it now, is raise the vibration, which means if your place becomes higher in good emotion, basically, I always tell people we all have a movie that makes us laugh. Put that movie on, start laughing, have friends over that make you feel good, bring laughter, bring joy, bring nature into your home, open your windows. Okay, all these type of things. If there's a lot of arguments in a room, you can clear that room, you can open it up. I've seen people use salt and throw it into corners and stuff. If you got a lot of clutter, you may want to straighten that up because clutter can hold steel negative type energy. So it's those types of things. You could probably find somebody to come in and do a cleansing even. There's lots of different things, but for yourself, really changing the emotion and the thought process and the way you deal with things, including, I think it is imperative that we stay grounded. So kicking your shoes and socks off and getting your feet into the earth, even hugging a tree sounds crazy, but really grounding your energy can help. So those are a few things.
Yeah, what about prayer?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, prayer. Absolutely. I thank you for bringing that up. Absolutely. For example, and people are going to think this sounds crazy. I had something in my house recently, probably about 6 weeks ago, and a lot of friends in this field that are very intuitive, and it was sent to us. Okay, people don't believe that was sent. And the reason why I know something, my animals, first of all, pay attention to your animals. And if you have young children, because I believe they can very clearly see and communicate with spirit, which means we were all young children once, so can all of us, whether it's like a buried gift, if you will, or you haven't ridden a bike in a long time, may take a little practice and what have you. My whole point is that also prayer works beautifully. Like you can say prayer. People don't realize how powerful their minds are. You could picture it being pushed out. You could picture filling your house with the most powerful, beautiful light. I have two videos on my YouTube channel, and it's not a big channel. I mostly use it to back up my videos, but I have teaching on there. The videos I share the most are how to create a love shield, because I think love is one of the most powerful emotions. Plus, the other one is grounding and gritting. But the love shield, because I want people to realize that we're not creating protection should you feel like something is negative in your house. You're making it basically inhospitable, like attracts like energy, right? And love, the way I walk people through it, it takes longer to walk through it than it actually does to do. But I don't want people finishing the video and going, what did she say in step five again? So I kind of walk you through how to create it. And filling the house. You can picture it with your mind, or if you can't sense, feel, you can look at a picture that brings great emotion. I don't even know how to put it into words, but you can literally send that out through what you think in your mind
Yeah.
to create that, what you want to see, and the emotion and whatever force field, whatever you want in the house.
Yeah, it creates a vibration, and whoever and whatever is out, they can feel that vibration.
I was even able to teach my son that has a severe disability, and he still does it every night. He goes, "I'm putting the bubble up, Mom. I'm putting a bubble up." And the way I was able to explain it to him, in our old home especially, he only eats six foods, and he's only ever eaten six foods in 26 years of life. So very simplistically, too, because he knew something was there. He's telling me there's something there, and he was afraid. So to empower him, yes, I taught him about the angels. I taught him about fear to empower him, but also to explain it to him on a simplistic level. I said, you know how you can't even look at broccoli? Well, when you get really angry or feel really, I was trying to teach him about emotion because he would have a lot of meltdowns. Well, meltdowns are like French fries that you love to what's here at this house. So when you think about how much you love mommy and your brother and your dad and everything else, they hate that. That's like broccoli to them. And I was able to explain that to him on his level and be able to perceive it. So what I'm saying is empower your young children to listen to your young children and pay attention. That's what I have an interview process when I work with people. And that's the first thing I ask, do you have animals or young children in your home?
I have people living with me here in the house. Two of them I can see, but there are some that I can't see. And because I see them as shadow people, and there, I see stuff from time to time, not always, but just about every day I see it two or three times that there's something moving out there off the 90 degrees off my field of vision, just right there off the side. And of course, when I look over there, boof, it's gone, because that's the function of sight. The periphery of the retina can pick up higher vibratory light than the second can. So they what I see out there, I can see there's a tall, kind of like a shadow, and it's a person, but he is not physical. And they are around the house, and they never bother me. They're just living here like we do.
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay, so that would be the first thing I would say. And I've been on many a panel where I've had people say, and I'm not being judgmental here, I always say it's a job to judge, but I've had people say, if it's in shadow form, it's evil. Well, no, it's not. Like I would ask you, how do you feel? First of all, it takes a lot of energy for something earthbound choosing to stay here rather than crossing into the light, for example, to be able to manifest to a full corporeal body that's something you can see. You're usually going to see it out of the corner of your eye. So I always ask people, how does it make you feel? The other thing I'm going to add quickly, people always think it has to be 3 a.m. and dark and no lights on for activity to occur. I'm here to tell you there's a lot that occurs in the light, but people with the noise and people around, safety, security, people don't pay attention to it. So how does it make you feel with them there? Does
Actually, it makes me feel curious more than anything. It's nothing negative about it. Of course, this is a friendly house anyway. There's no arguments. Then there is what I see them, I think, oh gosh, you idiot. Why don't you just show yourself? I like to see what you look like. I want to communicate. And I do communicate with them. Through thoughts, ever so often, there are ideas and there's thoughts that's coming in. That is, I know it's not my own, but I want to see them. And I have tried to do this in an astral journey.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but they seem to, when they see me entering their arena, I can see someone leaving. They really don't want to communicate, this seems like. So,
Do you think they're afraid that if you could see them, like I'm guessing they probably sense your energy and your abilities, and I know you have abilities,
yeah.
that this almost feels like they're afraid, like that you might want to get rid of them, maybe? I don't know. Like you won't. That's not your intention. I know that's not your
No,
intention.
it's not. They live here too. I don't really
What
care.
might they occur? Is it random or is there a particular room or place that you see?
It's usually when I least expect it, when I'm just walking down the hallway just to get a cup of coffee or something, or at night when I'm sitting here working, I can see it right off there. They are looking at what I'm doing.
So, have you ever said out loud to them, I know you're there and you don't need to be afraid. Who are you?
Oh, I'm not afraid.
No. To you're speaking to what you know is there, that it's taking a look at your work, but
Yeah.
speaking out loud to them rather than telepathically to them. Have you tried that?
Telepathically is mostly what I've tried is speaking to them too, but nothing really happens from it. I think though that they know that this is a physical house. I'm physical, everything I do is physical, and they're not. So what you just mentioned, it may be something that I haven't thought of, and that is that they're afraid that maybe I tried to
I'm
will tell
feeling
them to
that.
leave.
Yeah, I'm feeling like they're, just intuitively that they're afraid. And they, because even the fact that going into the astral world, that as soon as you get there, you notice them leave, right? So
Yeah.
to me, that's what this feels like. It doesn't feel residual. And for people listening that may not know what residual is, again, mentioning what we did about energy, the earth, a home, anything can hold a residual energy signature. So, for example, Gettysburg, in the
Yeah.
US, there have been many people that have documented almost like a battle scene, a ghost battle scene going on, but it seems to cycle, like it'll just repeat and repeat. That is what residual energy is. I almost call it like a memory of the energy replaying itself over and over. I know you know this, but for people listening.
Yeah.
So with this, and I'm going to give you some advice that you gave me years ago with the astral world. And you had said that to write them a letter, but to do it backwards, like almost looking in a
Yeah.
mirror, because everything's a mirror image. So if the spoken word might work, not work, maybe you might be able to leave them a letter and just let them know, hey, I'm curious about you. You don't have to be worried. I know you're there. I just want to know a little bit more about you, and I'm not trying to get rid of you. But I'd
You
be
know,
very interested.
that's a good thought. I just never done that. That's a good thought, actually. Yeah.
Sometimes we got to hear that though, right? Like, even
Yeah.
though there's things I like when you said, what about prayer? That would have been like number one, and I didn't even think of it, right?
Yeah. And I see now that we are at the bottom of the hour. And for those of you that joined us late, we are talking with Lorelei Potvin. And we are talking about spirit communication. What's behind the curtain? Now that's going to be the next question. And we are having a ball here because there are experiences, anything from shadow people to things being thrown around in the house
Kind of
and
happened.
really negative stuff, but there are positive things. I want to get into the positive thing in the last part of the show here. And if you want to get a hold of Lorelei Potvin, the best way is probably to go to Facebook and find her on Facebook and send her messages in Messenger. Isn't that about right?
I have a page on Facebook called facebook.com/theangelrock, but I am telling you, I have a website I don't even give out because it needs to be revamped. I had somebody message me from Sri Lanka through the Wix app. It's through Wix. I'm on every social media platform. I just tell people the quickest and easiest way, because facebook.com/angelrock is my business page. Messenger is the quickest, easiest way, but it's not the only way, because I'm on any social media platform you can think of, I'm on there. So you can get a hold of me
Okay.
The Angel Rock or Lorelei Potvin, very easy.
Yeah, that sounds good. Now, we talked a little bit about how do people protect themselves, and that is by positive vibration. I do another thing when I go to sleep at night. I know I'm safe at night because I put myself in a cocoon of bright
Good
white
one.
light when I go to sleep. And I've been doing that for decades and decades, and it gets so strong now that I can just about see it as a white haze around me. Yeah,
Absolutely.
so it's there. But now charging ourselves up with positive energy. Could you maybe talk a little bit about there's several different ways to do this.
Okay,
What
so
do you do to keep a positive vibration around you all the time?
okay. One of the first things is that, and I want to go back a little bit because you were talking about others living in your home, because I will run into people that I'll say I'm a really positive person, but negative people are around me that live with me, maybe from family members or what. That doesn't negate the situation. Each one of us is powerful enough to generate enough positive energy to make it inhospitable, say if you had something negative. But you also said going to bed at night. That is the ideal space. When I go to bed at night, I go through my day. I'm very grateful because gratitude is so important to create positive energy. It brings more positive things, like attracts like energy. So, and I've met people say, well, I have nothing to be grateful for. My life is awful. I had an abusive childhood. I had this, I had that. It's just a school of thought. Most of us that do this kind of work, not all of us, but most of us have not had this wonderful Brady Bunch TV, Leave It to Beaver kind of. We've had a pretty tough life, but my point is that positivity is a choice. And some people are naturally very positive, others aren't. So, practice of gratitude. Your bed when you're sleeping at night, exactly what you said. I work with ask the angels and lay down and my guides and ask them to create exactly the type of bubble you're talking about. Please help with any healing that I need while I'm sleeping. And it's perfect space to do it. You're wide open. What we all think runs the show, our mind, is busy doing other things. We're completely wide open. So creating that beautiful bubble around me. I have another video on YouTube. I teach people how to feel energy and how to walk through what color means to you. Not what I tell you what the color means, what you think that color means to you, because that's important. So some of the other things you can do, music is so powerful. All of us have music, and I don't care what kind of music it is. If it puts you in a great mood and it makes you feel amazing, plug that in. There are so many things that we can do for ourselves to feel positive. I even talk with people about the practice of mindfulness because when we're at work, for example, or whatever we're doing, and we have a lot of thoughts that randomly go by while, say, we're working that we don't even realize. And again, and this is where you and we jive on many levels, but the power of our mind, our thoughts, and our emotions, and we are our own worst enemy. That inner voice that we say to ourselves, and I've done it too. I'm still working. I'm a still work in progress. So the stuff I'm sharing, it's not like I've mastered this. Okay. I think it's a lifelong process. But you can set a timer throughout the day. Maybe you can't, but we usually have a washroom or coffee break and a lunch break. Maybe stopping yourself before you take that break. What was my last thought? And if it was something that wasn't very positive, like a lot of us call ourselves stupid or dumb or how ridiculous can you be, and much worse about, say, we made an error or something. How about just saying, it's okay. We're going to move on from this. We're going to learn about it. And it's okay to make mistakes. Whatever it is, you can cancel re and stop that thought. The reason why I say that is that's how you start getting into a more positive practice about positive thinking. Like attracts like energy, right? So the more we're positive, the other thing I think is very important to mention that a lot of people don't realize we have an energy field or an aura around us with many different layers. And through many of the things that we do in life, that can weaken those layers too. So constantly being surrounded around negative people can really bring us down. That's seeking out different forms of healing. The other thing is alcohol and drug abuse. You may want to start getting a little bit of help with that because all that can weaken you, right? So all those things, those are just some of the things, physical and emotional, unless you were thinking something different, Augie, that can help with positivity and that type of energy.
I think you're absolutely right, because negative people, they need to be stayed away from like the plague, because even if you don't interact with them, just being in their presence, you by osmosis, you are absorbing some of their vibration and you take it home.
Well, didn't research show that the five people a person spends the majority of their time with, and it doesn't have to be family, could be at work,
Yeah.
wherever you spend the bulk of your time, you start to become very much like whom you are surrounded with.
And another question is, the rumor on the street is that we all are going to find this out one day. But what do you see behind the veil?
For the
What would
future.
that be like when we drop the body and become a higher vibratory energy moving out there?
Okay, so what I'll add to that is that besides in your death experiences studying them, and I believe I did have one as a toddler. That's also what I'm going to add to that. I can't confirm it, and I'm not telling people to cut ties with your family, but for me, it was the best choice. Because I realized that, and this is an important lesson to learn on the healing journey, is we can never change anybody else. The only people we can change is ourselves and how we choose to react to it or who we allow to have that kind of contact, including who we share our energy with. So I've worked very passionate about palliative care. And one of these days, and I haven't given up hope, I will heal my back and be able to. I'd love to get into, it's a terrible name, it's a death doula, but to provide care for families and especially the person who is transitioning, as I call it, back home. And that's exactly what it is, home. And there are words to explain the colors, the music, the sound. I believe we have jobs on the other side. I believe we do healing as well on the other side. There's so many things that go on. We go on forever. Basically, we are a supernatural energy being who is just having a human experience in this lifetime. We are not our body. This I always say to people when they're looking at things and trying to understand the other side, we're looking at it with a human psyche and human eyes, but that is not who we are on the other side. There is nothing but love, and love does not begin to cover it. It is the most incredible place to be. And so people then ask me, well, if it's the most incredible place to be, why ever leave? And the reason why we leave is because we continue to grow and evolve and learn and experience as an everlasting energy source, soul, being, whatever you want to call us. And that's why we do it.
And the what we're going through right now is a global, or should I say even beyond our globe, a raising of vibration that is happening, and the veil is getting thinner. So for the people out there watching this, don't be afraid if you start seeing shadow people or experience and things that you cannot explain, because it's gonna get more of it. And I have found that if you live in an older house like this one is, you got somebody living with you. I'll almost guarantee it, because there are spiritual entities that haven't gone home yet. They're just hanging around because this is the energy they're familiar with. So they
Some are
are.
afraid to leave. Some are afraid to leave because of the way maybe they are no longer in a physical body here, how they left, or things they have done in this lifetime, and because of maybe religious dogma or belief systems. Or some people, it's physical things. Sometimes it's revenge. It could be many reasons, but eventually, and you and I've had this conversation on air and off air, all souls eventually realize it's time to go home. Yeah, we do.
With other words, we are being observed all the time. We are on a stage here. We cannot necessarily see everything that is observing us, but it's there.
And we're never alone because I've been finding
Yeah.
so many people, never mind, and it's a beautiful thing, feeling that calling about why am I here? I feel like there's something more that I'm
Yeah.
supposed to be doing, but so many people that feel so alone. We're never alone. We just have never been taught that. It's almost like the way I like to look at it is, say you were preparing a loved one, or even yourself for a journey, right? You're going to do all this homework and packing, and especially the reason why I'm using a loved one, like a younger, like a pet or a kid, whatever it may be, right? And you have to send them, say, we'll use summer camp, for example.
Yeah.
And you're concerned about it, like you're not going to be there to oversee them. You're not sure, like, are they going to be okay? Like, what am I going to send? And I know I'm oversimplifying it, but I really believe it's almost like that when we leave home and we come here. And I know it seems like forever. It could be 100, 200, 300 years. There is no time on the other side. We prepare the best way we can to come for the quote unquote vacation, say in this life experience. But we're sent with everything we need. Yeah, astrology, you've got a map of your soul, you've got guides. There's so many things that are here to support and help us. But I think that we experience difficulty in this lifetime also, and maybe scary things and the paranormal and what I don't think it belongs here. But on this 3D existence on Earth, I always say the ideal place I think for a human being to be, if we could be, is we are perfectly grounded to Gaia or the Earth. Perfectly connected to home, source, universe, whatever people want to call it, through our energies, systems, if you want, our chakras or chakras. But we have the perfect balance of good, and we have the perfect balance of, if you want to call it bad or light and dark, because that's the way it is on this planet, right? There's both.
Yeah, there's just experiences.
And
Yeah.
we create them.
We either created or we invited. Yeah.
I
Now,
like that better. We invite it, yes.
now you are a spirit communicator. You're also a Reiki master, and can you do some of that through the internet?
All my work done.
Speak to the fact, the things that you do, because there's a lot of people out there that have stuff going on and they don't know what to do about it. Let them know there is help and maybe you could help them.
Okay, so there's always help available. And I never did find help, believe it or not, in my previous home. But it became almost a 20, 22-hour job, like starting locally and working out globally. There are people out there like myself. And for example, through a friend that's in the States going to play video golf and meeting somebody in the UK is having a very, 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 very difficult time. Extreme paranormal experiences. And I've been working with him. But for example, that's how that happened. You can find people out there. You can find people locally. Ask people, look for communities online you can look at. There are videos out there with people, like some that I just mentioned. Like I said, I don't have a big channel, so it's not like I'm trying to promote my YouTube channel, but I have teaching videos out there. There are people that have tons of people have videos out there to teach you how to empower you. And but like for example, if somebody contacts me, I have an interview process that I do. And I don't have to be in your home to clear your home with you. I could be on video with you and we can do it together. I'm trying to think if I've gone into anybody's home to remote view to go in. I think I probably have, but I prefer to have the person I'm working with me on the phone because I don't want them to think that it's just me. I want to empower the person that's going through the experience so that they start to build their confidence and realize that I can do this, I can deal with this. Because what happens, I find, is if I do it all the time, every time there's a little creak or something, then people call me. And it's not that I mind, if I'm working with someone, it's the fact that we each are capable of doing this, dealing with this type of thing. Is that the answer you were looking for? Because even my healing work, I just worked with somebody over in Sri Lanka, with in Japan, Reading, same thing. You don't need to be in front of me. And quantum physics has shown that through research, and it's true. It's all energy. And when you tap into and connect to the energy, you don't need to be in front of me. Some people do, and that's maybe the way they work, and that's okay. But for myself, no, I don't have anybody to my home. I do it all through the internet.
That's good. Now, I have 2.5 cat living here.
Okay.
The half cat is because she thinks she live here, but we keep feeding her, so I guess she kind of does. But you are also an animal communicator. How do you go about doing that?
Okay, so I didn't. My sons can communicate with animals. They've been able to do it since they were little kids and could talk. And I kept thinking, why can I not do this? I can communicate with spirit. I can do all this stuff. Why can I not do it with animals? And I kept hearing from spirit, you're standing in your own way. So I took a course with somebody who helped me with two of my animals, Julie Jean Bassett. She's also a shamanic practitioner, and she's helped me with my healing journey. And yes, even though I'm a healer, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of honesty and bravery to stand up and try and do this for yourself. So sometimes it's not so bad to go to an objective practitioner. Okay, I'm putting that out there for people. So I took her course, and it was a beautiful course. And she had us listen to a heart chakra centered meditation. And animals are treated with the same reverence as we would with people. I just don't walk in there and say, hey, what's your problem? I'm going to be very polite and ask if they're willing to speak. And if you are, I have a communication with them telepathically. And our animals communicate with us much more telepathically than we realize, including the fact that I always say we don't get the animal we necessarily want, we get the animal we need. I believe they are here to help us as earth angels, if you will, and help us heal and help us with our journey while we're here. So, furthermore, with connecting with animals, I also for myself will literally use my mind to picture the infinity symbol when I have their permission. They're open to communicating, okay, from their heart to my heart. And then what I do is get in a relaxed state. And I start to pay attention to what do I feel, what do I see, what do I sense, and what do I smell. And for example, this is what proved it to me. We had a lot of pictures from people in the class, and there was an animal that was up there, and it was Julie's stepmom's service dog. He's just recently passed away, but he stayed much longer than was anticipated. Julie was able to help him heal a lot. But when I connected with him, now, I didn't necessarily get his name because I'd been given that ahead of time, but I started getting this funny taste in my mouth, and all of a sudden my arms started to hurt, and then I started getting feelings and sensations. So I just gave it all what I was feeling. And sure enough, he had been on chemotherapy, he had cancer in his arm, in his front paw. There was a whole bunch of stuff, and it realized to me, made me realize I'm getting in my own way, and that we don't realize our animals communicate with us, right? How many times, like you're feeding the neighborhood cat, you probably have a feeling when the cat's going to show up, or when your animal wants to go out and they haven't gone to the door yet, or they send us, because I was always told animals send us pictures, okay? And a lot of times they do, but I am also what's called very clairaudient. I hear. Okay, I don't hear voices, but I hear within the mind's eye. And so I was open to it all that I might have, once I took the class, that maybe it's going to be a picture, a feeling, a smell, a taste. It's tuning into your own body when you make that connection through love, through your heart to the heart of the animal with respect. It is harder to communicate with your own animals in the beginning. So that's why I say budding. I'm still new at it, but I would love to become very, very proficient at it. But yes, we can all do it.
And you are a healer also. And what about healing for animals?
So animals have chakra systems just like we do. And for people that may not know what that is, some people call it a chakra. We have these invisible energy centers, if you will, through the core of our body. And some, like they're discovering more and more. But basically, there's seven main ones, right? And they have They have energy systems just like we do. I know, okay, for example, I'm going to use Julie. I know Julie with a different background, she does. For example, one of my son's cat, the one with autism, she would go and urinate on his bed. There was no problem with her health-wise or anything like that. And you never knew. Like sometimes it was four times in a day, thank God for a plastic liner on the mattress. And then we go a week without. That's how I found Julie. And Sophie told Julie what kind of healing she needed. So Julie sent her, if I remember correctly, some of the essences of the Bach flowers, BACH, their remedies out there you can use in natural healing. She needed all different modalities of healing, and Julie was able to send that to her, find out the reason why. Believe it or not, our animals are pretty literal, and I hope it's okay to say this, but my son had said to me, maybe she's mad at me, mommy, because I'm not paying attention to her when I'm playing my video games. And basically, what Sophie said was she was PO'd because he's not paying attention to her. And so, any attention is better than no attention, right? Once they had this communication and was able to say, hey, I need you to stop that. Like, that's not the way to get attention. It's gone.
Yeah, there you go. But what, yeah, now being a healer, what if there's somebody out there listening and they got a condition in the body that nobody can figure out what it is? What can you do?
What can I do? So I always tell people I can't diagnose as a nurse or as a healing practitioner. But a lot of times, and this is, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful for anybody that may hold the Bible very reverent. I think it's a very powerful book. But I always say this is my healing Bible. And this
Secret
book
language.
is called,
Oh, okay.
I use this book because it goes through every body system. It goes through a lot of disease or health problems that we have. And I truly believe, even coming from the background that I did, I was never taught that the human body was capable of healing itself. It is. I don't believe there any body on this planet, I think, is one of the most perfectly designed organisms. It is perfect. But from whatever we encounter, physically, emotionally, maybe it's trauma-wise, spiritually, energetically, and we don't deal with it, or we don't help clear it or process it or heal it, it can sit and stagnate as energy and cause issues. This book, the reason why I love it, into some of the emotions and working with colors about how to start healing, maybe say the issue behind diabetes or whatever that may be. So I always say, I'm not really the healer, I'm the male person. So when I do Reiki, I'm channeling that love and light and healing from, I call it home, you can call it whatever you want. And I'm just being the connector person to the person I'm working with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I know one way that they probably can heal themselves, and that is that our body is a self-correcting machine if
It's
we give
incredible.
it what it needs. And we do need 90 some minerals and amino acids and other things every day. If we don't get it, we will get sick one day. That
Well,
might
we
be
need to
years
cure.
down the road, but it will sneak up on you if you don't give the body what it needs. And that is multivitamins and minerals, trace minerals, very much so. We need it.
We need to fuel our bodies, our minds, and our souls. And the other thing I'm going to add too is that this is not mine, but I say it all the time. It did come from what I would collectively call spirit, and it's what we perceive becomes what we believe, and it becomes our reality. Like, I really, really, truly believe this, that our minds, and I know you do too, are so powerful. We've just never been taught to believe it. So we need to fuel the physical body properly, but we also need to deal with the psyche and the emotions and get the healing. All of us could use some form of healing on top of fueling the body properly.
We need mind food.
Yes, that's perfect. I love that. Mind
Yeah.
food.
Mind food and people and body food, absolutely. But gosh, this hour went fast.
I knew it was going
Oh, this is good. We got to do this again sometime soon.
anytime. I love talking to you, Augie. It's always
Yeah.
wonderful. And thank
This
you
is
for having me.
that's good. And I want to talk to you out there watching this and listening. Some of the places we are, you don't see anything, but you can listen. And if you have questions, go to Facebook, send her a message, send a message to Lorelei Potvin, because she is very approachable. She'll answer you, and you guys can have a conversation.
And
And
come to my shows because both my shows are very audience participative and they're live on Mondays and Thursdays too.
yes.
It's on
Okay. That's something to watch for, because I have been a guest on there, and I know
many
that you,
times.
and I tell you, it's a lot of fun, a lot of education, and you will be better for it, because if we don't educate ourselves, then we're going downhill. There is no such thing as stationary. Either you are going backwards in your mind or you are advancing. So
Exactly.
make sure you're advancing all the time. And that you get from associating with higher vibratory entities. And I know you're one of them, Lord. So,
Okay. So are
yes.
you.
Yeah. And so, gosh, we're out of time. So, for those of you out there watching, if you like what you hear today, please subscribe and click the bell so you'll know when the next video comes out. And until then, be good to each other.
Absolutely. Thanks, Augie.
Yeah.